Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that each week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, I would really appreciate if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we together can make a positive difference in the world. Now, Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, happiness, and blessings for you and your family. We'll introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, many of our shows fall under the category of catch them doing something good. Now, this is certainly one of those shows. Now, with all of the negativity and divisiveness out there these days, I hope that you will find answersforthefamily.com to be a place where you can go to see and hear some of the good that is happening in this world. Now, I am grateful to all of you that take your precious time to listen to this show, and especially those that send in questions and comments, because please remember, this show exists for you. Now, rather than go into what the topic is, I'm going to read a quote, because Albert Schweitzer said, "The ones among us who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." And that's really what we want to talk about is that how can we serve? There's a lot of different ways. So with me, my guest co-host today is Tracy Saunders. She is an activist, humanitarian, an entrepreneur, an advisor, a philanthropist, and all for positive social causes. Her artistfactions.com and TracySaundersArt.com companies encompass managing communications for marketing, PR, promotions, media, celebrity fundraising, entertainment projects, and photography services. She believes in creating and preserving innovative communications by working proactively together for the betterment of our planet. Saunders is a board member of several organizations, including the one we're going to be talking about, Project Phoenix. Our guest today, Elizabeth Blake Thomas, is an award-winning director and philanthropist, as well as founder of Mother and Daughter Entertainment, a production company whose motto is making content that matters. Elizabeth has formed Project Phoenix, which, with your help, will provide up to 350 jobs to freelance workers in the film industry. Now, this collaboration with her production company consists of producing 8 SAG ultra-low budget feature films, each with a budget of $250,000, with the pledging goal totaling $2 million. Now, these jobs will provide workers with a steady income so they can pay their everyday bills. Now, virtual pre-production begins for individual films once each movie's funds have been pledged. Project Phoenix is also a platform to produce new and needed entertainment content that brings hope, inspiration, and positive messages to all during these unsteady times. Elizabeth, Tracy, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Excellent.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Thank you.
Well, you're not only welcome on the show, but you're welcome anytime because, again, the purpose of this show is to shine a light on people that we can catch doing something good. You know, we have a media out there that focuses on catching people doing something bad. Well, I want to catch people doing something good, and I love what you're doing. And having had a little bit of work within the area that you work in, I've worked with some of the freelance workers. I know that they don't make a lot of money, and I know that during this quarantine time, a lot of them are having a very difficult time. And so I guess to start off with, Elizabeth, share a little bit about at what point did you decide, okay, this is, I'm going to take my company and I'm going to now focus on trying to provide as many jobs as possible for these people that need them so badly?
Well, I think it was a number of different things that happened to me. I mean, I live a particularly frugal life on my boat, as you can see, and I am very aware of my outgoings, my expenses, because we live and work in an industry that is very up and down. So I'm always very conscious of that. I've taught my daughter how to do the same thing. But even in an industry that's up and down, I don't think anybody could have expected this to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, a total shutdown. This is unheard of. So even if some people are pretty good about saving or, you know, being aware of an industry that has its tumultuous times, this was going to be something that came as a shock to people. But even in the beginning, I don't think we realized that it was going to have such a long-term effect. So the first time it hit me was when I was on my emails, and I'm part of an organization called Alliance of Women Directors. And I got an email that came through, said that they were trying to raise funds for other directors who are finding it difficult to support themselves and need a meal. And I read it, and I read it again, and I thought, hold on, I'm not sure I understand this. What do you mean they can't afford to buy a meal? And then there's another organization I'm part of, Women in Moving Pictures, and an email went round. And then there were more emails from people saying, I'm looking for work. Has anybody got anything? And I contacted this lady, and she said, you know, I'm desperate for some work because I don't know if I'm going to make my rent. And I started putting this together, going, oh my gosh, this is really serious. Mm-hmm. There are people here who have not got enough to see them through. Maybe they can see themselves through that month, but not the next month.
Right.
And again, we thought this was going to be over, but it isn't. So that moment really hit me hard when I thought, there are people here now that cannot afford to feed themselves. And these are people that aren't on the streets.
Right.
These are normal people that I would see for a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what hit me the hardest.
Well, when I read what you were doing, and I was so thankful that it was brought to me, I envisioned some of the people, you know, that I worked with when I was on some of the sets, and I've actually reached out to some, you know, not only to tell them about doing this show, but to reach out and say, you know, is there something that I can do? You know,
yes,
because I think we get so wrapped up on everything that we're being told, you know, in the news, or we're being told, you know, to be concerned about the homeless, or being told to be concerned about something else. And these are people, you know, as you are working with them constantly, and I've worked with them in the past. And so when the opportunity was there and I heard what you were doing, it was, okay, how can I be of service? How can I help get this word out? So share a little bit about what the project specifically is doing and how people can get involved.
Well, so the initial concept came because I thought, how can I help support these people? They need money. They actually need tangible cash right now. How can I provide that? And so I realized that if I could put something together, not only did they want to keep themselves afloat financially, but mentally, because the mental aspect of this is very important as well. We need that feeling of hope. I mean, I have 7 people working for me. I've got 2 editors. I've got a production coordinator, 2 assistants. I've got people that I'm keeping occupied, and they all said to me, thank you, because you're keeping us motivated. So I thought, not only do I need to provide the finances, but I need to provide the work and give them that feeling of hope. So I actually have several properties of my own that are all on my slate, and they're all ultra low budget films. And I thought, hold on a minute, I can employ safely 20 crew because I know how to do that. And if the numbers are coming back saying that that's the amount of people you need on a set, right. I also have a way that I work normally, which is actually putting people in a house. So this whole kind of quarantine, self-isolating thing was, I literally read it and I was like, this is what I do. This is how I shoot. So if I put all of this together and I can make a pot for people, and the pot is the key word, because it's not about saying, okay, you're a director or a DP that needs to earn $1,500 a day. No, I need a pot that can help me pay equally those 20 people and those cast on set for an amount of days. So I put all of this together. Everybody really liked that concept because it was so fair. I put my slate together and I said, look, I don't need to direct these films. I'll just oversee the whole project. How can I make this happen? And I contacted the lady that runs Seed and Spark, Emily, and I said, I've got this idea. And she said, it's brilliant. We'll come in with you. We'll help. We'll support. And then I got this other wonderful lady, Lauren Magura, who runs Cinematcher, who again has crew. So I suddenly had project, crew, the concept. And then I brought together these amazing board members, Tracy being one of them, Nancy Vu, Cindy Cowan, Sean McNamara. And I said, okay, I've got something here. Now all I need is the money. So I'm going to put a project together and let's see if we can raise the funds so that we are able to provide some form of hope for these forgotten freelancers.
Now, I'm so glad that you added that because that was one of the things that I noticed right away. And that sometimes when people put things like this out and then people look at it and they go, okay, well, great, they're the director and they're taking a large percentage of the money for themselves, it appears to be self-serving. As soon as I saw that you or the director or anybody else was not making any more than the gaffer, and it was like, okay,
exactly,
I'm in. That was it's a beautiful exactly. way to make everybody realize that it is all about them and keeping everybody working, keeping everybody fed.
Because everybody at that core line has to pay their rent and has mm-hmm. to pay their food. So you know, a PA probably has the same type of bills as a gaffer, as a DP. You know, we all have that same issue. And it was very important as well for me not to direct. I'm not taking any money from this. I'm just overseeing the project. And this obviously is starting in LA, really. But I would like to have a Project Phoenix based in every single state. And maybe there'll be certain states that will be able to even support this and say, look, those freelancers who were working on that TV show now can't because their jobs have been cut. They are not allowed to be on set because of the amount of people. There's no shadowing anymore on set. Let me make these smaller pockets of films. I mean, I have to say it kills me when I have someone that says they've got $30 million for a movie because I look at it and go, I could make 30 at least for that. And we're not talking Marvel films. I'm not trying to create, you know, that kind of a movie. I'm talking about these two or three locations, the 5 to 10 amount of cast, you know, movies that are specific to a lower budget.
Now, and again, I love the idea from the standpoint of being able to do it everywhere. Would it be possible for some of the states that provide tax incentives to see if they will get involved or provide any sort of matching funds or incentives? Are you already working on that or is that...
That's the plan. That is exactly the plan. I mean, obviously, it's just little old me at the moment with my incredible board. And we've only been running for 3 weeks. I mean, this is our last week of our first initial month. And I look and you know, thanks to people like Tracy and Nancy who are on my board, I've been introduced to some phenomenal people. And it's funny because I was only giving it a 30-day Seed and Spark campaign. But actually, that's almost the 30 days is to get the word out there. Now we're doing another 30 days, extending it, enabling people to be able to provide any funding or finances they can. And it's definitely something that people, once they've started to hear about it, have thought, that's a great idea. And the amount of, you know, freelancers that have contacted me saying, please think about me, I could do the job, is heartbreaking. I'm just trying to do something. You know, the world is a different place at the moment.
Well, I think also the exciting part is that you're also getting people providing their services, knowing the conditions that we're in currently, and really, really, really adding to your quote unquote business model.
In fact, share a little bit about that, you know, for the people out there that are not sort of seeing the part about if some shows are shut down, what are you going to be doing differently that allows you to go ahead and shoot and stay within the quarantine guidelines?
Well, so there's a number of different things that can be done. And again, none of this is specific yet. This is all, you know, speaking from a sense of on my boat, having come up with my own white paper, working out what I can do. And there are going to be obviously several changes, but from a simple aspect is that the amount of people on my set, I directed a couple of scenes that were the intimate scenes in a film the other day. And obviously on an intimate set, you it's closed down. There's only a finite amount of people. And actually, that's not many more to what I normally use. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I know that I can make a 10-person crew that can come in, set the scene first. So they would be the production designer. They would be the lighting. They would be everything that you need first. They then leave and you bring your next 10 in. And that 10 are then able to be in charge of the cameras, the people that need to actually be there during shooting. Right. Now, looking at the type of movies, you know, again, the amount of cast. And I'm not saying that I'm going to be having a cast where I've got 500 extras. I can't fix those problems, you know.
Right. And I know that when Tracy was explaining a little bit about it to me, and when you mentioned about, you know, one group that comes in and they're doing their thing and then it's sanitized. And
yes.
And then the next group comes in, they do their thing and then it's sanitized, which I thought was great because when you bring in your actors, they can feel confident that there hasn't been 20 or 30 people milling around, touching everything. It's been sanitized at every level so that they can feel comfortable that they're going to be able to come in, do their job and not worry about these other issues.
Well, and one of the things with that is people look at me and say, well, that's going to take so much time. You know, you'll have overtime. And I said, well, actually, when I normally direct my movies, the cast, I never go over 8 hours anyway. People look at me strangely because that's obviously not normal in the industry.
Right.
But I actually don't ever go over the hours that is supposed to be. So if I have to reduce that by an hour and say to everybody, look, we're all in a new reality here, mm-hmm. and I need to ensure that this happens safely, and I'm not going to be bringing you on until this is necessary, and my crew as well. This isn't about saying suddenly we're going to need 16 to 18 hours on set. Because you don't want people's immune systems to get low. And my crew are the most important people to me. Their safety, I go above and beyond. And that's why my crew have stayed with me over 8 features that I've shot. So I will ensure that those crew members have the right amount of sleep. They're kept in a safe environment. Now, I'm obviously not 100% safe. Nobody is. Even if Disney or Paramount put something together, it's still not going to be 100% safe. But I can do everything in my power. I can stagger arrival times. It's a totally new Hollywood, a totally new world, which fits really well with how I like to make films.
Mm-hmm. I like it. So for our listeners or viewers that are out there, and I know of some philanthropists that have gotten involved in the movie industry that have contacted me. What would you say to them? Because I'm sort of envisioning this to where, you know, I want to say, look, if you've gotten involved in some of these types of things before, but the movies that you got involved in may not have projected the kind of message that you want. So share with them that there's more than the fact that you're just helping to give these people a job. But this is a message that I think a lot of people are dying to hear. More things that have a positive message, more things that are inspirational, more things that projects hope. And it's a real shift. I know that at one time it was called GATE, the Global Alliance for Transformational Entertainment. And it was Eckhart Tolle and Jim Carrey, and I'm trying to think of who else. And unfortunately, it didn't continue. But when things like that start to happen, I see that as where we need to be going anyway. So, you know, let's talk to some of these people and say, look, not only can you be a part of something that's going to help people, but you can also be a part of putting out some really good content.
Ellen, I would add to that because it's also Elizabeth is extremely pioneering, and she's the mover and shaker, and will be remembered for starting all of this when we finally get back to our new normal. We're the ones that started, took the courage to get the ball rolling to mm-hmm. help all these people, I believe anyway. Right, Elizabeth?
Oh, thank you, Tracy. Yeah. I agree, and I think that this whole shift, and I have to say, it's really funny that we're having this phone call today. Because when I woke up this morning, I felt really emotional. I'm really emotionally drained today. And it took me a little bit of time to kind of get to my senses because of everything that's going on in the world. And I feel like, I mean, I've got these, my goosebumps are constant. I don't know if Americans call them goosebumps, but I get this constant sure feeling. Yeah. And it's, to me, it's just, what can I do? I have to do something. And even before this came about, my whole ethos was making content that matters because I feel I have a responsibility actually as a mother. So my daughter is nearly 18 this year, and my responsibility to make sure I have a healthy, happy, kind child is, has always been there. So I feel I've got this mothering instinct that I want to put out to the world. And so every project that I looked at for her and every project that I looked at taking on, there had to be some purpose behind it. I couldn't just make something for the sake of making it. And so I was collecting these stories all the time, and people would approach me with these true stories that were inspiring. And in fact, what you said at the beginning, educating, inspiring, and entertaining. And that really resonated with me because I thought, yes, that's what I want to do. Because it's just as important to create something that's entertaining for a family to sit together and watch and laugh. That's important. And that's as important as me telling a story. And we can go into detail of the stories in a little while, but of somebody that has overcome something or that has got that inspirational message. And actually, I mean, I'm part of something called Awareness Ties, and I'm an ambassador for the child trafficking. And also my daughter's an ambassador for suicide awareness. So we're constantly wanting to try and get messages out there. And this to me just seemed the perfect opportunity to not only help people, legitimately give them something tangible and hope, but there was always this end goal as well that meant that even that people that I wasn't paying, the people that are sitting at home at the moment, the people that are maybe in other industries need this content. They need something to inspire them.
Well, not only that, Elizabeth is also mentoring each person on the staff when she hires them, because we have to, remember how we're going to affect the world in a positive way later. It's legendary. It's a legacy that she's building, I believe.
All right. With me is Tracy Saunders and award-winning director, Elizabeth Blake Thomas. If you want to follow along with us, we're going to go to a break in a moment. But for those of you out there, if you want to follow along with us, go to seedandspark.com/fund/Project Phoenix. That's seedandspark.com/fund/Project Phoenix. Now, if you're driving, obviously don't try to write this down. But if you're sitting at your computer, open up another link. You can follow along with us. You can see a little bit more about what we're talking about, but we're going to take a break right now, but we will be right back. Open up that other site, take a look, and stay with us. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. And I have another quote that I want to share. This one reads, "Service to others is the rent you pay for the room here on earth. Okay. So, I mean, think about
it. Love it.
And this is by Muhammad Ali. So again, so your service to others, it is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. So for those of us that are fortunate, for those of us that we've been able to still make our rent, we've been able to still stock our fridge. You know, this is an opportunity to serve others and to make a difference. And not just now, but the films that are going to be made are going to be making a difference for a very long time. So, and Elizabeth, I just really want to thank you for really spearheading this and making it happen.
Thank you. I'm trying. I mean, you know, it's not easy. It takes a lot of hard work, and having this dedicated team around me is incredible. But there's just something in me that can't help but do this. And I'll do whatever it takes. I mean, I really will. It's, you know, there's so much in the world that I would like to help with. And I kind of have to focus sometimes on saying, it's all right, just change this bit first to see what you can do here.
Right.
And so by, you know, coming on your show and talking about this is hugely helpful. So thank you very much.
Well, again, it is my pleasure to make whatever small contribution I can to help make it work. Let's talk a little bit about some of the films, because, you know, we're talking about, you know, things that are inspirational and provides a positive message. Paint a picture a little bit of what that means to you and what people can look forward to.
Well, let's do an overall discussion first, yeah. And then I'm going to go into one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
So obviously there's so many genres that everybody likes. I don't expect suddenly the entire world to be interested in watching just an inspirational story about a girl surviving something. You know, that's not everybody's cup of tea. But every single story has an element of something that is either educational, inspirational, that they are very important terms. So it could be that even I've got a kind of sounds ironic, the word together. I've got a horror. Now, I thought I'd never put a horror together, but it's a moralistic horror that isn't a horror that you would imagine. It's not blood, guts, and gore. It's a psychological horror that is all about morals. And I was really enjoyed working on that with my writer. And that, to me, again, is even something that when people watch it will leave going, oh, my gosh, I need to just think about what I say. I need to think about what I do. And so that's really important. And then you've got these amazing stories that are for kids, that are inspiring in the sense of entertaining. They could become a singer. They could become, you know, what could they put out in the world that's good? Friendships, teamwork, you know, all those usual messages. But one of my favorite ones is called The Girl with the Crooked Smile. This is a story that I was given by a girl called Sarah Tubert. And again, everybody can Google her. She is an inspirational young lady. And her story, her basic premise is that when she was born, she was misdiagnosed with having a disease. She was taken into hospital and they actually severed a facial nerve of hers, which caused her to become deaf. And not only did she become deaf, but she also had a crooked smile. Now, obviously, as a little girl growing up, you get bullied, all sorts of things happen, but not only the bullying, but also being deaf in a world where she wanted to be part of a hearing community. Her parents were hearing. So everything she overcame, and she actually realized that she could be in the hearing community as well as the deaf community, and is now the captain of the USA Deaf Olympic volleyball team. So having gone from you might not live to being a 6'2" goddess is this inspirational message that we're working on at the moment. But I'm actually making a documentary about her to start with. And it was really interesting interviewing her because I was kind of pushing to get to who she was and what this was all about. And she said, she worked it out. She said, actually the deafness hasn't been an issue. It's my facial disfigurement that has caused people to question who I am. And so we're writing the script at the moment, and I'm approaching Patricia Arquette's Cleft Palate charity as well. So what I try to do is find a story that can also embrace other stories and other charities and bring them on board.
I think it's beautiful. So I was going to give Tracy a moment here because she's not on camera, we can't always tell. What are some suggestions of ways in which people can get involved? Because we know, obviously, I mean, donation is one of the ways, but what are some of the other ways in which people can get involved that will still help?
Well, there are a number of ways, actually. So let's, yes, donations, obviously, that is a huge help, because that means I can start paying people to live and survive. I mean, that is my main priority. But in order to get those funds, sometimes you need the bigger players to step up and come in. So, for example, if there was a studio that said, we're going to have our lot, it's going to be spare for 2-3 weeks. Actually, we can house, bring in your small team and you can shoot that movie here. We'll help you. We'll provide equipment, whatever it is you need. Then that obviously means that my ultra low budget of 250,000 can look like 1.5 million, 2 million. So those things are crucial as well. And then also people with their names, their celebrity status. You know, I'm sure if Brad Pitt or Leonardo DiCaprio, which, by the way, I'm sure they're doing a lot of good in other areas. I just pick them just because I think they're lovely. And they are so helpful in the world. But those two, if they came forward and said, do you know what? I really believe in this. I'm going to put my name to it. I'll give you some matching funds, or I'll donate, or I'll even help you get the PR that you need for this, or I'll be a day player in some of your movies. You know, people who have got names can be really, really helpful, elevating you to the next level. And then I think it's also the type of films. I mean, one of the other movies that I've got, The Cabin, is an LGBTQ story. So maybe there is a charity that says, you know what, we can help raise funding for this so that you can bring awareness to this. So there are a lot of different ways. The thing that I would love to hear from people at the moment are the freelancers. But until I've got to that stage, I can't employ them. But everybody can help by also just getting the message out there. They could speak and say, we'd like a Project Phoenix set up. We've got 8 writers. We could have 8 low budgets working. We could be employing that 350 people as well in our state. And then we get somebody that runs it in their state. You know, I don't need to oversee the world. In fact, I'd probably quite like to not oversee the world. That's a lot to take on. But other people that get the vision and would like to follow, share, like, and help get this message out there, because this is serious. This is really serious.
I think you bring up a great point when you talk about the nonprofits. You know, the goal of the nonprofit is to make as big a positive difference in that particular area. And you mentioned earlier about human trafficking, and I have worked with nonprofits in that field at all as well. And I would say to them, you know, if you're in a situation right now, some of the ones that I've worked with, you know, they're flying out to different countries to make a difference there. Well, you're probably not flying right now, which means you're not doing those things, as incredible as it is of what you're doing, but you're not doing that. Can you still make a positive difference by getting involved with this, where one of the films is going to show, you know, whatever it is that we need to get out there, so less people are sucked into the human trafficking world? You know, so I love the fact, so I want everybody out there, if you think about it, and you're involved in a nonprofit, is this another way that you can still achieve your mission? So again,
especially through film. I mean, one of my films, which again, I'd love everybody to see, it's out there for the public, it's free, is called Unseen. It was actually one of my latest films, and it was my first short. I did all my features and then I shot a short. And I self-funded it, and I had a lot of support from some incredible people that helped this become a reality. And it's based on a true story about a girl that was taken in Utah. And again, I made that movie so that I could start a message, start a conversation. And I think through the medium of film, we have such power. You know, we're all passing things around on Facebook. We're all looking at little videos. That medium has the power, if done in the right way, to at least start a conversation. And I made this film as well so that it was suitable for all ages. Because that's something, as I said, being a mother, I'm totally aware of. I don't want to make things that my daughter can't watch, that my daughter shouldn't be part of. And you still need to make something that's going to be hard-hitting, but you can do that in a clever way, a way that's altruistic, a way that is going to affect people in a positive way as opposed to turning them off. So the movie Unseen is exactly for that purpose. And I'm actually at the same time trying to change the educational system actually in America. I'm trying to get the all these schools to have it as part of their curriculum so that they will talk about the use of technology and child trafficking within their sex education, because it's all part of it now, the way we use technology. Again, right. Being a mother of a child that I see this day to day and how we're utilizing it, I want to make sure that she's growing up in a safer world. And so I'm trying to change the educational system in America. I mean, add that to my list.
If everybody could
start watching this movie and then start a conversation, say to their schools, this is a conversation we should be having. Mm-hmm. Then at least, again, I'm trying to do something.
I think that's wonderful and needed.
That's in my part-time job.
Yes, indeed. It's so funny.
Well, if anybody that's listened to this show frequently, they will know that I have my issues with the educational system as well, and have talked about it quite a few times. So I think you have your work cut out for you in that area.
But
I can tell you, we do have a lot of...
I like a challenge, Alan.
Good. No, I'm glad. No, we have a lot of teachers. We have a lot of people in education that are our listeners. In fact, that's our number one area, is people in education, teachers, educational consultants, psychiatrists, psychologists, school therapists,
cops,
special ed liaisons, so anyway, so there's a lot of those that are listening. So yes, for those of you that are watching or listening, take this back to your school. I know that the districts are opening back up. I know the special ed liaisons are working from home, and I want to thank them, that they're still helping the students that need the help and doing so from home. So yes, let's get some of this information. A lot of things are going to change, and the timing is such that the school districts know they have to change now. So why not have this be another thing that can be added in while they're doing it? So
Elizabeth, I have a question for you.
Oh, go on.
Okay. So all the topics that you're doing for the films, a lot of them are based on true stories. Is that correct?
They're a mixture.
Okay, great. And are you thinking later on, as you're bringing in this sex education concept, to also do that with your other genres within the subject matter verticals?
So Unseen, which is currently a short, will become a feature. So yes, I mean, every subject matter, I mean, I'd love to touch on every subject matter, because there are so many. I've got a wonderful script I wrote called Pinky Promise, which is about racism. And considering what's going on in the world at the moment, I looked at that and thought, this is a perfect, it's written as a short that I can give to somebody to say, right, this is a feature that I can pay them out of Project Phoenix and say, this is going to be one of those features that we're going to be working on. Because yes, it's touching on all these elements that we should all be aware of.
But are you thinking about putting that in the school system, whatever genre you're focusing on? You know what I mean?
Oh, do you mean from the Project Phoenix films?
Yeah, just an example for, like you're saying, racism content, you would, maybe have the schools incorporate your films.
Yeah, there's no reason why that couldn't happen. I mean, for the girl with the crooked smile, Sarah already actually goes around and does inspirational talks. So absolutely. I mean, yeah. And Karma, the one that's the horror, again, making it suitable for an audience that is exactly the audience that should be thinking at school, oh, maybe I shouldn't be so horrible. Maybe I shouldn't bully. It's that whole concept of, yes, every movie absolutely has a message. Definitely. Schools, educational from the kindergarten all the way up to college.
What a great business model, huh?
Absolutely. And to me, that's where we're going to make the biggest difference.
Yes, I believe so too.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to. If you don't start with the young people, and again, being a mother, that's just something. I homeschooled my daughter most of her life. And she and I are best friends. We actually lived on this boat together up until quarantine happened, and then I put her somewhere safe. But it was, to me, it's about saying, hold on, we need to make sure, we need to ensure that our young people have got positive messages. They need to be aware of what's going on in the world, and they need to know how they can change it. And one of those other issues is the mental health issue. You know, my daughter, who is the ambassador for the suicide awareness, has had 6 people that have passed in the last couple of years from suicide. That shouldn't be happening. And currently now in this state that we're all in, with everybody suffering financially, there's, I think the suicide rate's gone up by, 40% or even more.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's if I can make a film that has a purpose that I can then put out there. And one of my teen suicide movies, actually, Sand Angels, has just been released on Amazon Prime. I made it 3 years ago. I mean, I've actually been doing this for 4 years. So 3 years ago, I made 8 features in this last 3 years. And this story is, again, supposed to be a message to those teenagers to say, maybe I'll just think, maybe I'll just talk to someone. So I've always wanted to try and do something good.
Well, after this show, let's talk about that as well, because I work with a lot of programs out there that specialize in working with at-risk youth, and I have been now for over 30 years. So I think that I can also help make some connections in those areas that I think will make a difference. We've got about 4 or 5 more minutes. So Elizabeth, let me give you the floor and just say, explain again, for those people that might have just tuned in, just very succinct, here is what's going on. Here's what we need. Here's how soon things can happen. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you might have a pretty special announcement that you're going to be today or tomorrow, and you can talk about that as well.
And then ask them to pledge as well.
Yes. Hard cash. Yes. Okay, so Project Phoenix, this is all about helping those forgotten freelancers. I have started a campaign with Seed and Spark that does need people to pledge, because I would like to be able to support at least 350 forgotten freelancers by producing 8 ultra-low budget features over the next few months, enabling those people to actually afford a meal, pay their rent, and survive in this very uncertain time. So I do need everybody to go onto the Seed and Spark website for Project Phoenix. I know Alan's going to put the link up and pledge. And if you can't pledge because you are a forgotten freelancer, please know that this is for you. So therefore, by following, liking, sharing, we can start to build momentum with this. And this isn't just about LA. This is about them opening it up in all these other states as well. And I do have one film that's not been included in our 8 that I came up with while sitting in quarantine. It's been written by an incredible friend of mine. And we are going to be shooting that one more than likely first, depending on that funding coming in. But it is something that could be shot during quarantine. It's very cleverly written for this very purpose, because I just want to be able to get some money to those people that really need it, those forgotten freelancers.
And Tracy, is there anything you want to add?
Well, I'm very honored to be a board member of Project Phoenix as well. I have been reaching out to all of my incredible, talented, intellectual friends who actually have a big heart and want to give back, like the rest of us here. I know Alan's been doing this for 30 years, so I think he has a few resources. I'm not sure. But it's just amazing to be part of this communication marathon, to be able to multimedia outreach, transmedia, to make sure across marketing wise, we're really reaching everybody, because everybody's different in the way they communicate. And so the purpose is, all about making sure to get jobs going, not the wrong way, but the right way, I would say. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth has a lot of tools and just ingenious in her business models. I really love the idea about reaching out to all of the states and being able to really incorporate some of those powerful films as messages or, accessories to the courses. I think that's just wonderful. Or continuing education, even. I've worked with nonprofits for decades, and I know that they really, truly need these resources. So kudos to you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. And we're all in this together. We are
absolutely.
Absolutely. And again, so that website, again, for those out there, it's seedandspark.com/fund/Project Phoenix. And again, if you can't write this down right now, we will have it up on the Answers for the Family website. We'll have it on the Answers for the Family Facebook page, you know, wherever we can get it out there. So for everybody, go there, see if there's something that that you can do, that you can get involved. And again, Elizabeth, Tracy, I just want to thank you so much for everything you guys do.
Alan. You're awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having us. And thank you, Tracy, as always.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please be sure and also put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday, June 1st, when we will be joined by Julia Keys and Jackie Coles to discuss their new book, Manscript, Surviving and Thriving During and After Infidelity. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, SoundCloud, or wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. And I want you to know that we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please stop by our page, check it out. If you like what you read, then please leave a review. Tell us what you think. Doesn't matter either way. It's good or bad. It's something that will help us continue to bring out content to you that we believe is going to be helpful. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.